Discover for yourself how God is able to change your life forever through the ministry of Bishop Dagwood Mills. Dagwood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 1,200 churches worldwide. He is an international healing evangelist and author of several best-selling books. He also conducts work of ministry conferences all over the world and has established the Anakazo Bible and Ministry Training Center. Now, listen to Dagwood Mills.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. What a blessing we have to be in your presence. Guide us, lead us, fill us. Lift your hands and ask God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Word of God. Father, thank you for giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of your holy word. Thanks for leading us. We love you, Father. We're grateful. We give ourselves to you this morning, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Don't leave us dry, Lord. Don't leave us empty, Lord. Give us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for blessing us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure some of you are surprised to see me this morning. But I just felt I should come here this morning because when I was going to Zambia, I came to ask you for money to go for crusade. And you gave beautifully, and we have gone for the crusade and we've come back. So I felt I should come and say thank you. Hallelujah. Is it powerful? Yes. So, thank you for your support. We were in so many cities in Zambia. God was with us. I'm sure some of you saw some of the pictures and clips that were coming out. We started in Livingston, where the Victoria, famous Victoria Falls, the largest waterfall in the world, Victoria Falls, Livingston. Then we went to Chumo, and then we went to Monte. Then we went to Mazabuka, and from there we went to Kafue, and from there we went to Kabwe, and from there we went to Indola, and from there we went to Chilabombwe, and from there we went to Mufulira, and from there we went to Kitwe, and from there we went to Chingola. All right. So we were in so many places. And the Lord was with us. And we want to thank you for your support for Healing Jesus campaign. Every soul that is won, you're part of it. And there's a blessing for you. Amen. And when I was at the first service, they were introducing me and I was explaining to them that I don't need to be introduced here as a visitor, because I'm not a visitor here. And I saw some pop-up stand saying welcome, and I said remove it because I'm not a visitor. Hallelujah. This is my church. So some of you don't be confused. Don't be confused. I think some of you are confused. You know, what you must realize is that we are really blessed as a church to expand. You see, at first we were only here. I'm not talking about the branches. We have almost 3,000 branches. That is not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about this particular church. You see, we were in Kolegono. We vacated and came here. So this particular church, I'm the pastor. Bishop Saki is my assistant pastor. Bishop Eddie is my worship leader. That is it. Maybe you are confused, but don't be confused. And the people who are bishops here, they are my sons. They are junior bishops who are my sons, who we have left here. And we are blessed as a church to have loyalty. Because if we don't have loyalty, we cannot go anywhere. Anywhere we go, we have to look back and say, hey, what are they saying? We will need to get clips, audio clips to hear what they preached and what they said. And it has never happened. I've never, ever, listened to a clip or asked. When Bishop Saki was here for some years, and now Bishop Fabian, Bishop Okobotedoko, and Bishop Okumens, it has never come up. What are they saying? What? It has never happened. Now, I've never even discussed it with Bishop Saki or whatever about anything like that. So you must see the miracle of multiplication that is happening. So instead of one church here, I'm just talking about this church, we are now four churches, four Kodeshes. Kadesh, First Love. Even though it's called First Love, it's actually a Kodesh that is there. Yes. It's a Kodesh. Don't be confused. Tell somebody today there, don't be confused. Please, don't be confused at all. Hallelujah. Now, very soon we will be dedicating the Kadesh because it's almost completed. And then we will soon be dedicating the Kadesh, which is also nearing completion. First Love Church is not near completion yet. It's completed in one of the halls, but we don't have other parts. We are still building. Amen. But it is a great blessing, and you must also be excited that your church has expanded into four locations in the same church. Now, don't tell the other branches. You see, when you say what I'm saying to the other branches, they'll feel as if they are not part of us. We are all together, but in a certain sense, you know, this is, yes, I'm saying that this church, the particular local congregation, you see, has expanded into four. Q4, we call it sometimes. And can you imagine if it is possible for us to expand into six locations? We are six Kodeshes, practically. Wow. That would be a blessing. But we are not tackling that now because of financial and personnel reason. But at the right time, I believe that we'll go into that. I mean, how many of you would like to go to Ouagadougou and see a Kodesh? That this is Kodesh of Ouagadougou. Amen. It will happen practically in Jesus' name. So, it's going to be beautiful as we expand. So, don't be confused. And you see, one of the things is that the church doesn't belong to anybody in particular. Even you, when you are traveling, you don't tell us. Is it not true? Yes. Yes. Sometimes we go to a branch and we say, "Hey, is that where you are?" Say, "I'm here." "Hey, I didn't know you came to America." "So I've been here for 2 years." Wow. It happens all the time. So if we don't expand, you know, I tell you, if you go to Kolegono now, You see how the area has become. Even here, you see how the outside, I don't know how the place is, you know, organized. But it's fantastic. So there is no particular place that is so important. Do you see? And we must, and the church is not for anybody. So I'm here as a tenant. That is why I always welcome God's powerful servants like Reverend Eastwood and so on to come to the church and say, look, the church is open. Come and bless the people and be blessed. It's not for my center. What type of center? It is for God. Do you understand? Yes. So let us not be confused, especially the Kodesh, what's happening, what we are doing here. Yes, it is the same church that has expanded with strength into four locations. Yes, and we are, by the God's grace, I mean, I'll be so happy to hear that word Q8. Q8. Wow. It will happen. Now, the Kadesh, we bought the land whilst we were still here. At that time, Bishop Saki was here. We used our money here from the Kodesh to buy the land. The Kadesh land, which was over $500,000. And the airport church, just their own church, paid almost 100% of that money. Yes. So it's taking a lot of money and a lot of strength to move into these places, you know, and so on. So that's why we don't want to tackle Q6 for now. You can imagine what it will cost from our resources. But God is blessing us. And also God is raising up people who are personally interested in building churches themselves. Yes, if I have one church, one of our members, I think he's here, he's actually the one building the church. He comes to the site to see what is the next stage, then he pays. He bought the land, then the next thing, we are doing trusts, okay, here is money, like that. He's very personally interested. Not the pastor, he's just building, you know. So I believe God is raising up more people to do greater things, you know. Look, in about 15, 16 years, I'll be 70 years old. Yes, you can't even believe it. And somebody heard me say the other day, he said, I heard you say, in 15, 16 years, you'll be 50. He said he heard it on a message. And now I'm saying, in 16 years, I'll be 70. So you think it's just a saying. But before you realize, it's over. This is it. Man has been given 70 years. And if there's strength, 80. But basically, we can't really expect so much more than that. So whatever we are doing, that's it. So your church is doing wonders and you are part of the wonders. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. What a blessing. Now, this morning, just a little, I told you that I came to say thank you. So basically, that is the whole message. And if you remember, actually, somebody reminded me at the back there that the last time I came here, I preached about thankfulness. Yeah, so I think it's a confirmation of the message. Thankfulness. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. I want to speak about the prophet of your life. Now, it says, he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. Wow. Everybody say his own country. Now, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. So mighty works are a fruit of God's wisdom on somebody's life. Amen. Now, here comes the shock of your life. Okay? The shock of your life is that the word mighty works, everybody say mighty works, is followed by a question. Look at it on the screen. As soon as you say mighty works are wrought by his hand, then the next line, verse 3, says, is it not the carpenter? You see, mighty works doesn't silence people who are critical. Mighty works per se do not make people believe in things that are happening. Mighty works. You may do great things, but it takes more than a great thing in front of you for you to believe in God's servant as he's standing in front of you and doing it. The thing may be so great, you will not believe. That is why when Benny Hinn was in his church in Orlando, people at a point would come out with placards and stand in front of his church and say, "We hate you. We hate you. Go away from this city." And that is why people can criticize someone who does mighty works. Yes, because look at it in the Bible. Mighty works were done. The next thing is a question, an accusation, a suspicion, a lack of faith. Right where mighty works are being described comes the question. So I'm saying this because, you see, I am your prophet whom God has sent to you, and you are in my country. You are in my family. And yes, you are in my home. And you are in my country. And therefore, the next verse applies. It says, and Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. And like I said, I'm in your country and among his own kin and in his own house. So whenever you find yourself in any of these three places, you have to be very careful. If you are located in the prophet's country where he comes from, you can easily not benefit from that prophet. Yes. And if you are related to him, I mean, there are a lot of people here, we are related because we are Ghanaians. At least by being Ghanaians, we are connected. Is it not true? Yes. And then in his own house, that is another even higher level. These three groups must always be careful of being left out of great things whenever there's a prophet sent to you. Well, if you are in this group, you don't have to say it's not happening, because when the Bible says many are called, few are chosen, it's always happening. He that has shall have more. He that has not shall. These statements of Jesus, they are always being fulfilled all the time. Yeah, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass up. My words will never, even a jot, comma, full stop. It's happening. So once you are here, do you see, you have to know that the presence of mighty works are such that It almost has no meaning. It almost has no meaning. Because you are in the three groups. One of the three groups. You know, what do you call it? You know something? Give me the letter. I think I put it on the letter the gentleman wrote about the books. Yeah, any of you can give it to me. I believe you have it. Fantastic. Now, if I take my own pastors or my own church, right? Yeah? You got it? Yeah, put it right here. Thank you. If you take my own church members, I'm saying this to you because I want you to believe in something. I want you to escape from an evil. Amen. Let's say some of the mighty works that have been done in the church. The multiplication of the Kodeshes. It's a mighty work. One man of God in town met my son and asked him, "So where are you? So where is your father? So who is at the Kodesh? What is happening there? Is it still there? Is it still, are there people in it?" That's the miracle of the multiplication of the Kodesh. If you take the books that I've written, the miracle of the books, the miracle of the books, almost 20 million books. Almost 20 million books. Yes. Published. People are reading them, buying them. People use my books as their profession. That's the only work they do, selling my books. I can mention a long list of people. They live in foreign countries. The only work they do is selling my books. They use it to pay their rent. They use it for their school fees, to build houses. Somebody sent me houses that he's built. The only work he does is selling my books. Amazing. These are miracle books. These are mighty works. You took at the Crusades. You know what? We were at in a town called Kitwe. It's in the north of Zambia. And it's actually the major city of Zambia, perhaps more than the capital. Yes, more than the capital. You know, because that's where they have the copper mines. The man said, you see, my hair is gray. He said, 37 years ago, Reinhard Bonnke came here. He said, I am happy to see another Bonnke has come here after 37 years. We have never had anything like this in this town. He said, I was alive. I was an interpreter. Some of them are dead, but I am alive. 37. That's the last crusade of such a type of a crusade. So everywhere we go, we hear these words. The biggest crusades and the most powerful with miracles, signs and wonders. People are afraid. Yes. Even I go to place, I'm seen as a magician or some type of healer. You know? But you see, the scripture that I was trying to start with was that in his own country and in his own house, this is my house, and among his own kin, you may not, the mighty works will be there, but the people may still be asking questions. Anytime you ask a question, you are not receiving. Please. One day a man was laying hands on people and he said, "Receive it." Then the guy asked him, "Receive what? Do you think that he was receiving? Do you think the guy whom he laid hands was receiving?" He's not receiving. He's asking questions. Let's be serious. Your phone has gone off. Come and put it on. Okay. I'm going to read a letter that somebody wrote from Zambia to me. "Dear Bishop Mills, I hate you so much. Why have you done this to me? I hate you because you are a reason why I have failed terribly in ministry. Full stop. I hate you. If you had come in my life when I was 20 years old, when I started ministry, I was going to be international by today. All your 40 books have left me without any word to say. Whatever book I pick, I find nuggets I have been looking for in life. You have left me like a big fool. I don't know what to do. The book on tithe has shown me things I never heard of. The books on leadership are what I have been looking for. Why didn't I know about you in my prime years? I am now 65 years old when you are teaching me all what I needed to know. I can't say thank you because you have provoked me too much to love you." I'm reading. "Where were..." Brother, how does your phone work? Come and adjust it. Okay, where, yes. Okay, great. I got it. "Look, what have you done to it?"
I was trying to make it bigger.
No, make it the small one. Okay. Great. All right. "The book on tithe has shown me things I've never heard of. The book on leadership are what I've been looking for. Why didn't I know you?" "Why didn't I know about you in my prime years? I'm now 65 years old and you are teaching me what I needed to know. You have provoked me..." Brother, I cannot work with your phone. "You have provoked me too much to love you. Where were you when Zambia needed a mentor like you? Where were you when Zambia needed a mentor like..." This is a 65-year-old man. "Where were you when Zambia needed a mentor like you? I will start to love you only when I have finished reading all your books and utilized the knowledge in my life. Before then, you have left me confused with all your revelations. I will communicate after understanding your books. Again, where were you when Zambia was struggling with the American type of knowledge? Thank you very much for helping. My wife doesn't like you either because since getting your books, I hardly talk to her. Where were you when Zambian ministers struggled in ministry? Thank you for being faithful to God. Amen." Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is that, you see, here is somebody who is writing to me that he hates me because he has only met me now. He wanted to meet me long ago, and I've delayed in meeting him.
You are here. You have met me years ago. You are not feeling. You don't feel this way. He said all the 40 books. The books are here. They are more than 40. But you may not benefit. So I am saying this to say that when you are in the prophet's country and the prophet's house and the prophet's kin or related to the prophet, you can easily miss the great things that God wants to do. Now, Jesus, therefore, in verse 5 says, he could not do mighty works except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So this was the only thing he could do, some small healing, few healings. All right? So these are like, he was restricted. The anointing will not be restricted in your life from today. All right. Is there something happening to my sound? It keeps dipping. All right? Anyway. Now, verse 6. He marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. So that is one of the things that happens. It's like you have to keep going round, because when people stay with you, even you at the Kodesh, when I come, it looks like I'm visiting. You appreciate it more than when I'm here every Sunday. True or not true? So he called unto him the 12 and began to send them two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Unclean spirits are animals, animal spirits. Now, notice, he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Amen? No money. But be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Wow. Now, one of the greatest miracles and powers of God that comes through a prophet, you see, after refusing to do mighty works, he went on, and the mighty works he did, small one, was just healing. But there were more mighty works in Jesus, and this is one of them. Go, don't take money. I'll be there. Now, one of the things people don't realize is that God is a very powerful provider of what we need. So that is why he said, don't take anything. Don't take money. Go without money. Go without money. Because I'm going to send money to you. What you need, I'll provide. And later on, he asked them, when I sent you without money, did you lack? No. Because supernaturally, God provides what you need and can be involved if you have faith in the prophet who is sending you and says, go, you'll be okay. At the right time and at the right moment, you will receive. That's why he says, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. Men shall give you what you need. So, brothers and sisters, there is a miracle of provision for whatever you need. Don't take a purse. Don't take even I said don't take a purse in case you want to put it in your pocket. Don't take money. Look at it. Don't take money. don't take bread. I can and I will take care. You see, there are angels and there are things operating in the spirit that are bringing provisions, opportunities, jobs, situations that are changing. And it's spiritual. And you say, you must believe, because if I look at a congregation like this mighty congregation here this morning, I mean, let's be serious. What is the greatest miracle that we really need now? For most of us, it's related to bread, it's related to job, it's related to money, it's related. The whole church is like that. How many would need and like supernatural provision for whatever you need financially, job, visa, marriage? Wow. God has it all. God has it all. And it's coming into your life in the name of Jesus. Beautiful. So you see, now Jesus is going around and doing the greater works with those who doubted. Few pastors and people have believed when I told them, don't get into debt. I went to America in the year 2001 when September 11 happened. And I spoke to them about debt. I didn't want to, because, you know, I don't like talking. If I come to your house and I see the furniture is not arranged well, I won't talk about it. Arrange, put the red one here, put the blue one on this side. No, I will not do that. I don't like talking about, you know, everybody has his personal decisions to take. So I don't get involved with that. But that time, and that's something I just felt I should. So I preached about it. And I said, I spoke about debts. I'm surprised I knew what I knew then. Fake businesses and fake prosperity. Fake. Fake. Fake riches. Everywhere. And I said, don't go for that. Slowly. I can show you no less than 300 of our churches which are not completed. They are all there. They should be uncompleted. When we get money, we continue. Even First Love Church. We don't have any office. We didn't have any building. I used to be at the Commonwealth Hall, chapel, and canteens, cafeteria. At my age and at my level of ministry, whilst you were here at the Kodesh, at my stage of ministry, yes, I meet under a tree after church. And so on. But I prophesied and I started crying. How many of you see me preaching? I cry. I cried as I preached and tears came. I couldn't even see the book. I don't know if we were using iPads in those days, and I couldn't see the Bible. They just disregarded it. They just... That's why you see today, God is even raising up other people to prosper. Look at the church. We don't lack. You can't say that we are in need of anything. And no particular person can say, I am the one holding the church. You are nothing. But you see, when Jesus was despised, he just moved away and started to do miracles of provision. Yes. The next one is about to 10,000 loaves. That's the next thing he's about to do. After sending his disciples, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Look at me. God has taken care of me. The day I threw away my stethoscope and all those things, I said, I am here in the classroom. God has taken care of me. Yes. You can't say that I have been demoted by coming to work for God. No. There's nothing, there's no aspect of that. Yes. Yes. And you see, my mother taught me well. My mother is from Switzerland. When you are stressed, you don't show money with watches and dressing and cars and no. That's, you never see that on me. Never. As I walk, I'm almost valueless. I don't even have money on me. I don't carry money. My mother told me that rich people don't carry money. She told me the queen doesn't carry money. They don't carry. I don't carry money. True. If you want to rob me, you get nothing. And what I'm wearing has no value. Almost zero. You despise the prophet. You see, if you look in the Old Testament, a pastor is a messenger from God. You see, at a point, a prophet is a combination of a pastor providing, telling what is the word of God, like Nathan to David. At the same time, teaching like Moses was a prophet. And at the same time, with a supernatural element. So every minister was called a prophet. And so that's what Jesus was actually describing. A person coming from God with a message. Yes. So people made fun. They despised it. And wherever they went, they preached. Now, notice in verse 14, Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And when Herod heard it, verse 16, Herod said, "It is John." You see, whenever the anointing is real, 16, verse 16, you will hear certain names being mentioned. That is why today my name is associated with Bonky. Yes, when you go places, they always, we don't ask them, is it whatever? So, this is a Bonky program. When we were in Nigeria, you know, one pastor told me, he said, "Look, let me just tell you something." When we were in Ikere, he said, "Look, I was the chairman for the planning committee for Bonky's crusade." He told me, "Never think that your crusade is smaller. What you are doing is even bigger." That's what he told me. He told us, actually. Is that not so? He said, don't think that this is something small. Maybe it's something small that you are doing. He said, "I was the chairman for the planning 2 times. Wow. It is John. It is John. It is. When they went out ministering, they noticed the mantle that was ministering. The mantle. It's John. Others says Elijah. Because you'll be quarreling over who it is. Because really, as you see me ministering here, I am not wearing the cloak of Heward Mills. No. It's another invisible anointing and mantle that I'm wearing. Hallelujah. So, one time, you know, one pastor said in Nigeria, he said, he's also a Nigerian man, he said that some years ago we were eating Kenneth Hagin books, but now we are eating that Heward Mills books. Yes. So you find out that certain things are mentioned. Amen. Now, it goes on in Mark 6 to tell about the story of how John the Baptist was killed. I wish we had the time because there are so many powerful things there. Verse 31. But when the apostles came, they told him, verse 30, what had happened to John. John had been killed. And then verse 31. We are in Mark chapter. Today we are studying Mark chapter 6. And he said unto them, "Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." So you see, there's a need to have a desert place apart. That's why we have an Akazu campus with a prayer garden for you to sometimes come apart and rest a while. Sometimes you don't even need to pray. You need to stop moving. I'm telling you. As soon as you stop moving, it can take about 24 to 48 hours for your mind to calm down and for you to start to think normally and even to get the wisdom and the revelation from the Holy Spirit, even without prayer. Sometimes when I go to pray somewhere, it takes me sometimes 2 days to calm down. To calm down. Calm yourself aside and rest a while. For the Bible says that, for there were many coming and going. You see, the coming and going is what takes away the rest. There were many coming and going, coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. In so much that they had no leisure so much as to eat. So, ladies and gentlemen, God is showing you mysteries and secrets that Jesus had in his ministry. Powerful secrets of a great prophet sent to us. Now, verse 33, when the people saw them departing, many knew and they ran and they came together to him. And verse 34, when Jesus came out and saw much people, he was moved with compassion because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Now, when the day was fast spent, he said, send them away and let them buy themselves meat. And Jesus said, give them to eat. And they said, where are we going to buy all this food from? And he said, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make them sit down by companies upon the grass. Order. Another passage says, they sat by 50s. Some of you can't even find your clothes. That's why you even think you are poor. If you were able to arrange your things, you see that how much God has blessed you. Yes. Now notice, I see this, the miracle that is about to happen is what we need. We need more of this. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And they did eat, they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets, verse 43. And they that did eat of the loaves were 5,000 men. Now, I don't know how many you invited for your outdooring, how many you invited for your wedding, and how many you invited. I'm talking about money. This is a miracle that Jesus did. And in John, when he described this miracle, they wanted to make him a king. This is the power of a prophet. You see, these are the things that people didn't see. These hometown people, they didn't see this part. They didn't see this part of Jesus. I believe that it has contributed to difficulty. As people have despised me as a prophet, it has contributed to their difficulty. They didn't see all this part. Because as we stand there, we are debt free. We are debt free. This is Mark 6. We are still in Mark 6. Yeah. It has contributed to poverty. When he speaks, they take it as advice. You see, where a prophet is not honored, nothing works. It's just, it's just advising. That's his opinion. I saw a church, they bought a private jet for, they bought a jet for their pastor. Beautiful white jet. I saw the picture of it. So I was interested in this. I thought maybe it's a church with probably 100,000 people. Not very large. They bought a jet for the pastor. He uses it every Sunday. Goes here, goes here, goes here. So I decided to look. I was looking at the film of the church. Then I saw, he was on the side and then they introduced him to come. When they introduced their pastor, whom they call him a prophet, when they introduced their pastor, the congregation, they all knelt down. They knelt down to receive him. Yes. I mean, there's a certain honor. No wonder they have enough resources to buy a plane. We are struggling to buy a car. Since I've been in the church, hardly has anybody ever bought a car for me. Not that I have more. Please don't waste your time. I have more. Yes. You know, one day somebody bought a car for me, very, very expensive. I said, look, please, I can't drive this car. That's not my type of car. Car is not what we are looking at. Don't waste your energy. I'm not saying you shouldn't buy a car, but I'm saying that don't think that I'm here trying to imply for you to buy a car. Goodness gracious. Be serious. Twice people have bought me brand new Mercedes Benz, big type of. I say, I can't sit in this car. It's not my type of car. I don't like it. One of them, I had to say, please, I don't want you to be offended. If you give it to me, I can't use it. When you give it to me, you feel that I've despised your gift. Please, I beg you. We have more than, you see, a car. When my father died, he gave his car, Mercedes Benz, to my sisters. But he didn't give it to me. And I wasn't bothered at all. Because a car there is nothing. It's the house that's the real thing. That's nothing. I can't dare to be old just now. Ashanti, they say what? Yembisa u sika, yembisa u fie. Is that how they say it? Yes. Yembisa u fie, yembisa u sika. We don't ask for your money, we ask for your house. Where is your house? Real estate. Not, I mean, these ones. When I prophesy, now, in verse 51, look at verse 51 and verse 52. You see, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. This is the same Mark. When you go and read Mark chapter 6. It's a nice. He was walking on the sea. And they were amazed beyond measure. And I mean, like, Charlie, what with why? They still didn't believe he was a great person. Look at verse 52. Look at verse 52. He says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You see, these great things are happening, but they don't think about it. That's why in the First Love Church, we give testimonies about iPad phone is a miracle to us. We don't ignore whatever God has done. It's a miracle to us. It's a great provision. The Bible says they considered not. They did not think deeply about what was happening. Like if we are here in the church and you see the miracle of multiplied Kodeshes, you don't think deeply about it. The miracle of this church being completed years ago. Years ago. Have you forgotten? Years ago. We've used it, dedicated it, and it's passed on. This now a branch. It's a miracle. You see, when miracles of provision are happening, power is being displayed. You see, and you don't consider it. It shows your heart is hard. Heart is hard. Not miracles of healing, no. Miracles of financial provision. And you see that God is doing something. Your heart is hardened when you can't see it. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. Because if I am your leader, I am your shepherd, you must partake of the grace. Philippians 1:7. You are partakers of my grace. Look at it. You are all partakers of my grace. You are all partakers of my grace because you are my children. You are my sheep. You are my what God has put under me all these years. You must partake of the grace of prosperity and of blessing, free, real, not fake prosperity, like what all these banks and so on. They are all fake. Businesses. Fake. So many things are not real. It's just a facade. So many things the government, they're all just fake things. We are talking of genuine, solid, when the Bible says true riches, there are true riches, and therefore there are riches that are not true. You know, I wouldn't want to talk about all these things, but recently I started the Lablam conference because I felt maybe I should also say something. Because the principles that God has given me, that I've been operating in, have generated and created. Well, the Zambia that we went, we have lands and buildings all over. Even as we were leaving, we were buying more lands. Oh, yes. I used the offering. Take offering. You see me taking offering serious. I bought land here, 10,000 hectares. This one here for churches all over. I paid before I left the country. Yes. And you are all part. Listen, when you despise the prophet that God has given, that's why I instituted Galatians 6:6, which in the first love church we call it honor the prophet, the prophet's honor. We don't call it Galatians 6:6. We call it the prophet's honor. You are the one who is losing. The prophet said, tomorrow by this time, everybody will have bread. One guy was standing here, he despised it. He said, you will see, but you will not eat it. And they trampled over. He said, tomorrow by this time, everything will be okay. Everybody will have food to eat. He said, how can it be? Even if the windows of heaven are to open, how can it be possible? You despise the prophet at your own risk. And people have despised me at their own risk over the years. True. That's why I instituted it. I said, teach the people to honor the prophet. Because it looks like their mind is, you think that it's just an institution. It's just an institution. Strike the shepherd and you see that there's nothing left. It's not an institution. You are left with a shell. Honor the prophet. Honor the prophet. Where there is no honor, there are no mighty works. Jesus went away and started to do what they really needed. You see, 90% of the people need financial miracles. Maybe 5 to 10% need healing miracles. If you look at it. Yes. 90%, 95% of the people need financial help and breakthrough. Because there is a curse in the land. And Satan is the supervisor of that curse. He's supervising to make sure that you sweat and you get very little. It's a curse. And Satan is supervising it to the last detail. Unless there is a breakthrough and a supernatural intervention. I tell you, you see that it's just all about sweating to get very little. There must be a supernatural intervention in your life. So, I'm trying to help you to rise up in faith as a congregation and believe in the Bible. These are Jesus' miracles. I didn't write the Bible. I believe that God has provided. God told me, you know, when we were going to build this Ofer cinema, he told me when we took the offering for the project, he told me I should give away everything. The whole fundraising that we raised, I should give it away, and that we would never lack. We have never lacked. That is going to be your story, and that is going to be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands. Ask God to touch you, fill you with His Spirit, with His Word. Jesus, thank you for sending Jesus, Father, to teach us about you. Thank you for making a supernatural intervention in every life. Now, lift your hand and pray, because you are falling into that category. The country, the house, and the relatives, the king.
Father, I pray for all of us that you touch our hearts and our eyes, that whatever is supernatural, that we must be part of. Yes, from today, Lord, by the miracle power of perception, open our eyes that we may see and believe. Walk in this supernatural provision that you are raising up in our church for this generation and for this time. Thank you. As we build more churches and as we do your will, you are prospering more people supernaturally and surprisingly. And you are releasing your grace and your power into the lives of everyone here. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise, Jesus. Lift your hand and receive. I feel a supernatural provision from God. Receive a supernatural supply of your needs, of miracles, of provision, of your needs. Receive it in the name of Jesus. According to the word of the Lord, your river will not run dry. Hey, your tap will not stop flowing. For there shall be a flow, and there shall be an extended flow of provision into your direction. Father, we give you thanks for your great and powerful and prophetic word to all your children today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Stamp your foot and say, my foot has stood on gold today. My foot has stood on gold today. In Jesus' name, receive it. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you want to give your life to Jesus, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. I want to give my heart to God. I want to give my life to Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the prophet, the great prophet. Jesus the Savior of the world. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. If you're here like that, lift your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, come to me. Come, come. Come from wherever you are. God bless you. Come all the way to me in the front here. I want to pray with you. Come and stand right here. Give him your heart today. Come to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus.
Let him have his way.
Let him have his way.
Say this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus. Everyone join and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for touching me today and saving me. In the name of Jesus, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. You may go this way with our pastor waving. You may be seated. Now, we are going to receive our offering, but I just want to say, may God bless you with Philippians 4:19. In Philippians 4, I think verse 12 or 13, he said that no one in the beginning of the gospel, no one communicated to me in the beginning of the gospel. So when it comes to the gospel, you communicated or you shared and we preached. My God shall supply all your needs. May God supply whatever is missing in your life today in Jesus' name. May every missing link be provided for you in the name of Jesus. Whatever is a gap in your life and whatever is missing in your life, may he fill that gap today in Jesus' name. Whatever space there is for a blessing. May it be filled with a blessing. And whatever makes somebody feel sorry for you from today, I curse that thing in Jesus' name. Whatever basis there is for somebody to say to you sorry, in Jesus' name, I cancel that thing from now. Your life is full of good news. And I declare that by these prayers and by the blessing of Philippians 4:19, you'll be hearing congratulations every day from now. My God shall supply all your needs. Be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dagwood Mills, please visit our website at www.dagwoodmills.org. God richly bless you.